Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hello, and welcome to the Over and Back Classic NBA Podcast. I am Jason, and with me as usual is Rich. Hello, Rich.
Hello.
So, NBA wrote out it's a 75th anniversary team, because as we know, NBA, it was founded as a merger between two leagues, the BAA and the NBL. That occurred in 1949 for the 1950 season, and that was 75 years ago.
Yep. Right? Yeah. I was told there'd be no math, so yes, I am going to. You said it very confidently, so Jason, I agree. That is indeed 75 years ago. 1950 is indeed 75 years away from 2021.
Yeah,
I think. Wait a minute. Hold on.
All right. Let's not question that. All right.
Hold on.
Yeah, it is a little confusing, but yeah. So yes, NBA announced its what it's calling its 75th anniversary team. Picked, well, 76 players in the 75 first list. I mean, there was a tie. I mean, why, you know.
It's fine. It's just so, it's oh my God. It's just, it's the perfect cherry on top of this, what I think has been a weird rollout that we're going to talk about here in a bit. But just the cherry on top, the chef's kiss to it is, 76. I don't care.
76, might as well, you know.
Don't ask the guys to break a tie. Just go, nah, it's 76. It's fine.
Whatever. Yeah. So, but that's a lot of math, too.
Well, here's the thing that's going to be interesting about this moving forward is, so, okay, if we use the precedent that the 50 team, because all the 50 guys were back on
right,
for the 75 team,
sure,
presuming that all knew the 76, we're one down like every single time now. The 100th team is going to get one less guy. Or are they going to get one additional guy? They're going to have 101 players on the 100 team.
Or 102.
Yeah, there are no rules anymore. There's anarchy. It's just pure anarchy.
There are no rules. Yeah. And it's...
And unlike ECW, anarchy does not rule here, all right?
Does not rule with a Z and no E.
Right. Leave that for Extreme Championship Wrestling. This is the National Basketball Association, man.
Right. The National...
There's rules.
I'd be interested in the
set. You can't just say it's 75th anniversary if it's not your 75th anniversary. We have rules, Jason. We have things that we have to follow here.
We do have rules. You know, I would be interested in Extreme Basketball Association, what that would be like, you know?
Yeah, a lot of, yeah. Big Sally Graziano, you know, down low. Right. Just,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Little Guido's on his shoulders. It's like, well, hey, it's legal.
Right. Are there going to be three-way dances? You know, is there going to be...
certainly,
you know, they'll be dancing on the, you know, the roof of the ECW arena. You know, it's hard to know what's going to happen. But anyway, we digress.
Did we?
We might have. It's possible. Yeah, so the NBA announced its NBA 75 team. And, it was, I don't know, not exactly the most dramatic way of... It was basically, it was announced on Twitter. So...
It was strange. Yeah. So the first day they did it on like the first TNT game or whatever, and that was fine. Like that, I didn't mind because what it was on like national TV. It was the opening day. Like there were some guys that were there, so it was an opportunity to tell, you know, certain people, hey, you made the NBA 75 or whatever. And that was cool.
Yeah.
And then the next day they did it on ESPN at like 3 p.m. Eastern.
Okay.
Like, what? Like, yeah. And this is where they did the weird groupings, or they're like Celtics legends, Bill Walton, Sam Jones. I'm like, what's going on? And like you said, everybody found out about it on Twitter, and I just, I just think there probably was a better way to go about it, but I don't know that I can tell you definitively what that better way was. I mean,
it lacked drama, I guess. It lacked a sense of, you know, panache. No pageantry, I guess. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more pageantry.
Yeah, just something. Like, I don't know if you do it during halftime of certain, a home game for the Bulls, and you do every Bull, you know, all right, it's, you know, a national TV game, and it's the Bulls. I don't know. There's some way to do it. There's some halftime way to do it. There's something to do that would definitely be better than this. And, hey, there's people paid probably a lot more money than me who have the opportunity to think about these things. Sure. And instead they decided just on 3 days, just kind of throw out a bunch of names on Twitter and then a bunch of names on ESPN and TNT. And then just kind of get it over with as quickly as possible. So
And I guess rolling it out like three separate days was, I guess, interesting. You know, because you get again 25 or 26 each names, and I guess it fed a little bit of speculation about who's left or whatever. But I don't know. It just it felt a little gimmicky, I guess. I don't know. It didn't. I'm being a trademark old person here, but a curmudgeon perhaps. About
It
just felt
It no problem.
Feel. Yeah. Oh, thank you. I appreciate your understanding about that. You know.
No, but I really think, to me, there is still the opportunity. They do still have the opportunity of the All-Star weekend to at least try to make, because for NBA 50, we've talked a lot about NBA 50. We've done episodes about it. Yeah. We've watched the NBA 50 ceremony during the, we did that for a live stream with the one Dr. Curtis Harris watching the 1997 All-Star game. I forget if Reynos was with us for that one, too.
I think Reynos was there, too.
I think he was as well. So we watched the 97 All-Star game and went and watched the NBA 50 rollout. And, you know, it was a really cool moment. Everybody had their jackets. Everybody was there. It was just a really, really cool thing. A lot of people probably don't know that the team was just announced by David Stern in, like, a hotel lobby or something. You know, we didn't care. It just wasn't that big of a deal when it got announced. But then it was all about that moment when they all got out there and when it was like, oh, wow, here's, like, every great, you know, here's this list, this greatest of the great NBA players, and they're all standing here. They're all here in this moment at this time. And I think, you know, having something this All-Star weekend and making it that big of a deal and making it this giant thing is a way to recover this. We will never think about, hey, you remember when they rolled it out on Twitter or whatever? Like, I don't think we'll care about that if the All-Star game delivers and if they do the same sort of thing. And I mean, I hope they would. I don't know. Do we even know that that's what they're going to do? But I mean, that seemed like such an easy win to just have those guys come out, announce their names. I don't know if you have to have a tacky jacket. I mean, I like the tacky jacket. Well, I am fine with the tacky jacket.
Sure.
But however they want to do it, I mean, I think that's the easy win to make people forget that maybe this rollout wasn't maybe the best or had the most pageantry, is like give it as much pageantry as humanly possible on the All-Star weekend. And that, I think most people will probably forgive them if so.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, and obviously COVID being the only wrench there, of course, you know, if that's not able to happen. But yeah, it would be great to have something. Exit with some pageantry. You're right. Yeah, the way that it was introduced in '96 wasn't exactly dramatic either. So, but they got there and they could get there with this as well. So, which would render my complaining move, which I would be glad to have happen. So we'll see. So as you referenced, there were previous anniversary teams. Of course, the 50th, which we've talked about a lot, but there was also a 25th anniversary team and a 35th anniversary team. So, the 25th anniversary team happened in the 1971 season. There were 10 players selected out of 25 nominees chosen by an expert panel. So this was a panel. It was like, it was like Red Auerbach. It was Ned Irish. It was a bunch of, executives and writers and people who had been around the game for a long time. So it was a well-selected list. And then out of those 25, 10 players were selected. Anyone who had ever been on an all-NBA first team was allowed to vote. So, which is kind of interesting. It did not include anyone active. So, you know, Wilt Chamberlain, Jerry West, Elgin Baylor, Oscar Robertson, all not eligible because they were still active. And it was done like an all-NBA team. So there were 4 forwards, 4 guards, 2 centers. The players selected were Bob Pettit, Dolph Schayes, Paul Arizin, and Joe Foulkes. You might find Joe Foulkes' interesting name here, which we'll get into in just a second. And then at center, those were the forwards, by the way. At center, Bill Russell, George Mikan. And then at guard, Bob Cousy, Bill Sharman, Bob Davies, another name you might be a little bit surprised to hear, and Sam Jones, Coach Red Auerbach, also selected, obviously, as the coach. So we've done a show on this, which you could get into if you wanted to get more deeply, including the, you know, the 25 nominees. But I think this was a list that was, you know, outside of not including the active players, I think was, you know, pretty reflective of the first 25.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I think this is probably one of the more clean lists we'll have here, of just like perfectly represents that first 25 years, quote unquote, 25 years of the NBA. Obviously, without, if you don't include the active guys, Chamberlain, West, Baylor, and Robertson, all right, would be no doubters on there. But other than that, yeah, it pretty much nails it. I think it's pretty clean, and really I have no huge issues with it. Maybe there's a few little guys you could say here and there, but given that it was going to be, you know, done in like the all NBA team, I think they did a pretty damn good job. So no real complaints about the 25.
Yeah, there you go. So the 35th, 10 years later, of course, this one was voted on by the Professional Basketball Writers Association of America. It did include active players and there was no consideration for positions. So the players who were selected, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Elgin Baylor, Will Chamberlain, Bob Cousy, Julius Erving, interesting name we'll get into in a second, John Havlicek, George Mikan, Bob Pettit, Oscar Robertson, Bill Russell, Jerry West. Also, Red Auerbach was selected again as the coach. The 1966-67 Philadelphia 76ers were selected as the greatest individual team, and Bill Russell was selected as the greatest player. So 1981 consensus, at least from the Professional Basketball Writers Association of America, Bill Russell had been the greatest player in NBA history so far.
Yeah,
so
there we go. And I don't think they've ever declared a new one, so I think Bill Russell, yeah, by virtue, is still the GOAT. So good. All those debates are done. We don't have to do them anymore. Great.
All right.
Over. <Yes.
laughs> So interesting thing about Doc, of course, you know, he'd only been in the NBA for, you know, 4 or 5 seasons at this point. So,
yeah.
Now, you know, I don't know officially if his ABA, you know, accolades were considered. So that would obviously have extended his career. But, you know, obviously, Julius Erving was awesome. You know, you can't really argue his inclusion on the list. But in terms of longevity, obviously, you know, the rest of these guys had either completed their career, or in the case of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, had been, you know, like a, you know, 5-time MVP at this point, you know, clearly one of the greatest players of all time.
Yeah, it's a little ballsy, and we haven't even had, I mean, Julius Erving, by, you know, 1981, he hasn't even won the, you know, won the title with Philadelphia, that thing that would kind of, sure, stamp his legacy even more. So it was definitely very similar to the Shaq in 97, very much like, hey, this guy has been awesome so far, and he's probably still going to be awesome. Let's hope. Let's see. And, yeah, and they were right. They were right about Julius. He remained awesome. And obviously they were right in 1997 about Shaq. But yeah, it definitely takes on a very different thing if, you know, Julius Erving, you know, blows his knee out in 1982 or whatever, never plays again. It's like, I don't know. That's like a weird guy on this list. But it ends up being all right. So when it's all said, sure, and done.
Sure. And then the 50th, you know, we're not going to get too into that. We've already talked about it here. And of course, we touched on many previous episodes, including our own stab at the 50 greatest NBA players that we did in 2015. Can you believe we did that 6 years
ago? I know. God, it seems, it really doesn't seem that long ago. I mean, time is, it's right, nuts. I cannot believe. When I was looking back, you know, somebody was like, oh, I can't believe you guys didn't have, you know, Steph Curry in it. And I'm like, yeah, why didn't we have Steph Curry? And I'm like, oh, wait, it was 2015. Like, how much has happened since? Like, at that time, we're like, ah, oh, this Steph Curry guy, it's pretty fun what he's doing, but I don't know. Like, we'll see.
And
it's
like, we'll see.
His Warriors, Draymond Green at center, that's going to be a little weird. How is he going to guard, you know, Dwight Howard? It's like, oh, right, they're going to totally change the NBA and completely transform it over the next 7 years. But, yeah, a lot of things change very, very, very much in that amount of time. So very, very fun to look back. Yeah, I cannot believe it was 2015. That's wild.
Yeah. Absolutely. So there are a total of 4 players who have been on the NBA 25, the NBA 35, the NBA 50, and the NBA 75. They are Bill Russell, Bob Cousy, Bob Pettit, and George Mikan. So quite a good list there. Bill Sharman, Paul Arizin, Sam Jones, Dolph Schayes, they were on NBA 25, NBA 50 and NBA 75, but not NBA 35. Bob Davies and Joe Foulkes, the only two to be on the NBA 25th anniversary, then no other teams. and everyone from the NBA 35 made NBA 50 and NBA 75.
Yeah, and I think that's the big note there, the last note, that nobody was really quite sure. There was weird mixed messages about this as well, of you know, whether the entire NBA 50 team would be carried over to the NBA 75 team, whether that was official, unofficial, whether all the voters decided, hey, let's keep everybody in there and then vote for the new guys, or the NBA right. said, no, you can't, you know, these 50 are going to stay. But that, I think, is an important note there, that we don't have to look at, okay, well, hey, sorry, Dave Bing, you're out, buddy, like hit the bricks. Right. That, you know, instead we're going to have, you know, all the 50 stay into the 75, which I have a little bit of a mixed feelings on. I don't know where you're at with this. Like, in one breath, I don't really want to tell, you know, Dave Bing that, hey, sorry, man, you got to get lost. But I think it's not impossible that somebody that was, you know, in the top 50 in 1997 is not still in the, you know, the top 75 all those many years later. Like, I don't think it's impossible to say that, but I get why, you know, the optics of, you know, three or four guys getting sent away, you know, while a bunch of new, you know, I get it. But it's in one breath, I do think it maybe makes this list a little, I don't know. There's something weird I have about it, where I do think that there are guys who are well-deserving that are not on this list, and people that were, you know, maybe deserving in 1997 or less so deserving in 1997 are still on the list because they just felt bad about taking them off. So,
right. Yeah. I would say for the voting panel, you know, for the people who are making the selection here, who are, you know, experts about basketball, you know, among the greatest players, and, you know, there's some writers and executives and people who know the NBA, but probably are not, you know, well-versed in the early history of the NBA, and being able to parse out those guys, probably just best for them to, you know, grandfather the top 50 in, honor that previous decision, and then just try to get, you know, 25, 26 guys out of, you know, the last 25 years, and, you know, call in a couple of favors for guys who missed the original cut. That's probably a better resolution, even though, you know, obviously we know different things about basketball, you know, in, you know, 2021 than we did in 1996. I mean, we can obviously analyze it differently and see player value, and, you know, see guys who were overlooked, and, you know, see guys who might've been overvalued. I think that we, you know, we are the collective, we of basketball experts could probably go back and make good decisions about that. But the panel that they have making those decisions, I think probably just best to go with the way that they went with.
Yeah, and like I said, the optics are pretty tough, because I think there's a really good chance that most of the people that were on the 50 would be carried over, right. Except there are, and there's guys that we discussed back in 2015 that were even just like, ah, those guys are right on the cusp there, and like, maybe we're going to kick them off. And we obviously were a little bit easier to, like, you know, when we were doing over and back 50, we're like, all right, Maravich hit the bricks, pal. Like, you know, right. We had no problem doing that, because we didn't have to, like, you know, go out there and announce, hey, we didn't put, like, nobody cared, you know, that we had, you know, our you know, dozens of listeners at that time or whatever, and it was like, sure. Yeah, all right, whatever. Like, we're not an official body of the NBA. It's a lot harder, especially if, like, the voting comes in and it's like, oh, crap. There's, like, Bill Walton, Pete Maravich, and Dave Bing. Like, those are the only people that we aren't carrying over. Like, that looks really crappy to those guys. I mean, the optics of that are pretty tough. So,
yeah,
they're in a very interesting position here, and I think maybe it is just fine to bring the 50 over. So,
sure. So, looking at the players who are new, brand new to the list of 75, I think you and I were just going to go through it and say if we feel like they're absolutely automatic, no question on this list, or if it was something that you would have a debate for.
So, okay, yeah, let's do it.
All right, so Ray Allen.
Slight debate. I think probably a very small debate. I think he probably belongs on there, but I at least would have him on my, like, short list of guys to at least look it up. He's not a no doubter in my mind. He's one, yeah, that I'd like to look it up a little bit more.
Agreed. Yeah. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
This is a future one too. It's kind of present and it's kind of future as well. I mean, he is a two-time MVP. He just wrapped up a championship. Like, there's a very, very, very strong chance that when he ends his career, he will be no doubt, unbelievably no doubt, in the top 75. But it's tough just because he's so young in his career. I mean, he's 26 years old, right? Like, he's still super, super young, but the accolades and what he's achieved so far do put him in rare air. So I would say probably no debate, but I would listen to a debate if that. I don't want to make the debate, but if someone wanted to, I would listen to them about it.
Okay. Yeah, I would say no debate. I think he's done enough at this point. So, Carmelo Anthony.
I think he's got to be in there. I think he's obviously going to, you know, end his career in the top 10 of points scored. He's already there now. I think he just passed, I forget who he just passed the other day. We just did an episode about
Dan
that.
Issel, yeah.
And, Dan, yeah, right, right. So, right. No, he's probably there. I really have no issue with Carmelo Anthony being in there.
Okay. I think it's a discussion, but yeah, likely, I would say he's likely in. Kobe Bryant, I'm going to say no doubt for me. I'm
assuming absolutely no doubt.
Steph Curry, no doubt. Anthony Davis, interesting one.
I would like to talk about Anthony Davis. That's sure. One that for sure I think I would like to have a little discussion on. I don't want to say no right off the bat, but I do think that I don't know that his off the top of my head, his resume doesn't strike me as a guy who isn't worthy of debate, but maybe if I look at the research, it'll be like, oh yeah, clearly he is. But he's one that I definitely kind of circled when I first saw that list come out.
Yeah, and he would be one of the guys who I would consider like bumping off for maybe another candidate as well. I mean, and again, like in 5 years or 10 years, that might look silly, but right now he's kind of more on the borderline, despite obviously being a great player. Tim Duncan, pretty sure.
I think safely Tim Duncan can remain on this list, yes.
Yeah. Kevin Durant, also safe.
Yep, yep. One of the greatest scorers of all time. Yeah, he's allowed to stay.
Kevin Garnett, also safe.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
James Harden.
I think James Harden is safe. I think in totality, what he's done over the last decade or whatever has definitely put him.
Two MVPs, is that right?
Yes.
I think he had two. One or two. I know he at least
He definitely had one. Maybe it's just one. Maybe it is just one now that I think about it. But
no, okay, only one. 2018. So six-time All-NBA first team. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty. I mean, we're talking pretty. I mean, the black ink on him is great in terms of leading the league in a bunch of different stuff. MVP award shares. I think he's been top 10. What was it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times he's been top 10. I mean, yeah, that's it's pretty good. Winning one, second twice, or three times. He's second three times. Good Lord. I didn't even realize.
I always forget
that. Like 2015, he was already pretty damn established. So, yeah, sure. I think the more kind of glancing at it quickly, I think he probably is a no-doubter for me. But if somebody wanted to make a debate, I think I would listen to it briefly. But I think he's pretty safely in.
All right. Allen Iverson.
I feel bad. I love Allen Iverson, one of my favorite players of all time, but I think he deserves a little bit of digging in, I think.
Sure. Yeah, I would agree with that. LeBron James.
Man, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. He's good, but yeah, I don't know. I'm sure there is somebody who would like to debate him being in the NBA 75th, but that person should not be listened to and should be blocked and just stoned or just thrown into the ocean on sight. So
strong takes here.
Well, I mean, come on. There's going to be I bet it would not be that hard to find someone that's like, all right, he lost in the finals 6 times. Okay.
I like you busting out the deep Chicago accent.
Well, I mean, I hear it a lot. I was going to say there's somebody I encounter on a daily basis that probably would also agree. Like, I don't know. Stop 75. Like, get out of here.
Yeah.
LeBron, no doubt. No, not. I mean, the easiest pick, I think, of everybody to get in.
Jason Kidd.
Kid's in for sure. I think when you look at his assist numbers and his steal numbers and everything else, no, he definitely is.
I think there's a little debate on Kid, but I mean, obviously, all of these guys likely in. Kawhi Leonard.
Ooh, Kawhi is tough for me because he's really, really good. And you look at his numbers and his career and stuff, and he's a lot better than you probably imagine him being. He doesn't feel like a no-doubter for me, though. I want to have a debate about him because I really am not quite sure if he belonged on this list at this point in his career. But okay. what do you think?
Yeah. I mean, 2-time Finals MVP, twice Defensive Player of the Year. You know, only 5 times All-NBA. I mean, not that that's certainly good, but, that's not as high as some of the other guys here. He's really close to no debate for me. You could talk me into a discussion about it. I guess what you just did. So, but he's definitely up there for me. Damian Lillard.
Dame's tough. One that I really, really like, but I do think that he deserves a discussion. There's going to be some guys that we're going to talk about that I think I would probably have in there over Damian Lillard, but, he's one that I think is worth the discussion. Even if he ultimately does go in, I think I'd like to talk about Damian Lillard a little bit.
Yeah. Bob McAdoo, I would say, yeah, worth a discussion.
Yeah, Bob McAdoo, worth a discussion. I don't mind it. Like, you know, he's definitely a guy that was off that, you know, NBA 50 that's now on the NBA 75, and I don't disagree with it. But I think he still deserves a little bit of discussion. And it's a thing. It's a conversation that we've had a lot of times about his career. It's a very strange, weird career where, like, he was on the trajectory of being an all-time great, and then it just kind of very, very quickly falls off for you know, reasons of his own and reasons of not, you know, reasons that weren't under his control whatsoever. But he definitely is worth a bit of a discussion on that.
Sure. Absolutely. Reggie Miller.
I think Reggie's probably there, but I could maybe have a quick discussion about Reggie.
I think he's merits a discussion for that. Not necessarily an automatic, I would put him on there. I would, we considered him for our top 50, but he ultimately did not make it. But he was definitely one of the borderline cases there. So, Steve Nash.
I think Nash is in. I think two-time MVP, a lot of the other stuff you look at, I think he's in for sure.
Yeah, I would say maybe a slight discussion. He's really close to being no-brainer. I consider him kind of close to Kidd, even though he obviously had the MVPs. The only negative on Nash is he was not really – he's a pretty wretched defensive player, so that's probably the only reason why I would consider it. But obviously, incredible accolades, and yeah, it's hard to say a two-time MVP wouldn't be in automatically. So I'm kind of back and forth there. Dirk.
Dirk's a no-doubter for me. Okay. I mean, just clearly, yeah, clearly, yeah, in.
So. Absolutely, yes. And a personal favorite for you, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very biased that he has to go in, but like,
yeah,
I don't think he gets enough credit or enough due. I mean, if you really look at his numbers and his overall rankings and stuff, you'd be blown away by how he's there in like every one of the, like a lot of the big major categories. He's right there.
Sure. Yeah. Chris Paul.
No doubter. Yeah, one of the best point guards of all time. No doubter.
Agreed. Gary Payton.
Gary Payton, I think, is in. I think you look at his entire career, the defensive end, the superstardom and all that sort of stuff that he had as well in the 90s. I think Gary Payton's pretty solidly in.
Yeah, discussion, I think. I would have a discussion on Payton, but be a pretty short one. Paul Pierce, our favorite player.
Yeah, not the biggest Paul Pierce fan, but I think he probably belongs. I mean, looking at his numbers, I think, like, you know, if you wanted to have a debate about him, I would definitely discuss it with you, but I think he's probably pretty solidly in.
Sure. Dennis Rodman.
Rodman, I think, is in.
He made our top 50. I would think there might be a debate there, but
Me, it's not going to be. I'm again biased a little bit, but when you talk about what's important in the NBA and all that sort of stuff, you do have to kind of take all parts and all facets of the game. And there was nobody better at two certain facets of the game than Dennis Rodman was for a very, very long amount of time. So I think he's pretty solidly in there.
Yeah, Dwayne Wade.
Wade's in there, no doubt.
Yeah, clearly. Russell Westbrook.
I think Westbrook's probably in, but I would definitely listen to a debate.
Okay. Yeah, he's really close to that border of no debate, but I'm willing to listen to one, I suppose. But I don't know, four straight seasons of triple doubles, that's pretty good.
It's pretty damn good. Yeah. I mean, no matter how he does, maybe the last two have been a little a little forced, but no, for sure.
Yeah. And Dominic Wilkins.
Yeah, I'm fine with Dominic being in there.
Yeah. I mean, he should be in. I'm not a no debate guy, but definitely I'm happy he's in. Yeah. And as you mentioned, Bob McAdoo, Dominic Wilkins, didn't make the NBA 50 list. The only two guys who, whose careers were complete, who were eligible for NBA 50, didn't make it, but made NBA 75. Reggie Miller was technically eligible, but hadn't really done enough in his career yet in 1996. So those are the three, historic guys, quote unquote historic guys who made the 75, didn't make the 50. Everyone else was, pretty much a post 1996 player. So interesting stuff. So I think we now want to talk about the biggest snubs.
Yeah, let's get snubby here.
All right.
Ooh, is that a word? I don't know if that's a word, but it is.
I like it. I like it. Yeah.
I don't. I don't know if I like it. Actually, I said it, and I kind of felt gross. You can decide if you want to keep using snubby if you want. But
snubby.
I'm back in. I'm back in. Snubby is
all
actually good.
Cool.
So.
All right. Nice.
Let's
do
it.
Awesome. All right. You want to start with Pau Gasol?
Yeah, let's talk about Pau Gasol. So he's one of the two players who made our over and back 50 back in 2015, but not on the NBA 75. And that was one of our episodes that people still bring up to this day. Because when people that weren't around this time, we basically got a big list of guys and guys we thought deserved to be on there, guys that we thought were maybe on the cusp, guys or whatever, and just did episodes about every single one of these guys. I mean, I don't even remember how many it was that we did in the NBA 50 series. It was probably 20 or whatever that we did. But
more than that, yeah.
I mean, it was a long time that we were doing it. It was fun. Sure. One of our charter series that we've ever done here on this show. But Pau Gasol was one that I think you and I both were just like, people, and this was in 2015, and he added to this since then, where we're like, people just don't get it with this guy. I mean, it's... it's so hard to believe how good he is and how little credit he gets for that. So he has the highest win shares of anybody not on the NBA 75 list. 144.1 win shares career for Pau Gasol. So that's higher than anybody that's not on that NBA 75 list. And it's more win shares than 49 of the guys on the list as well. So the majority of the people on the list, Pau Gasol has more win shares than. His accolades, Rookie of the Year, six-time All-Star, two NBA titles, two-time All-NBA second team, two-time All-NBA third team. All-time ranks, he ranks 44th in points scored, 29th in rebounds, 40th in games played, 50th in PER, 31st in win shares, 66th in win shares per 48, 45th in box plus minus, and 29th in value over replacement player. Now, the cons on Pau Gasol, and then I'll kind of let you give your thoughts on this. He never had an All-NBA first team nod, which, you know, that I get it. Okay, that's fine. Yeah. Never led the team, never led the league in any statistical category. No black ink on his basketball reference whatsoever. He just doesn't lead anything in anything. Right. Never received an MVP vote either. Never finished anywhere in the running for MVP whatsoever. Played most of his prime in relative obscurity in Memphis. And then his, you know, the last half of his prime, largely in Kobe Bryant's shadow. Yes, he was an important part of that team. Yes, in one of those teams, he was arguably better than Kobe Bryant. Played a bigger role in them, maybe winning the title than Kobe did. But, like, no one's going to give Pau Gasol that kind of credit because it's always going to be Kobe's team. The Lakers were always going to be Kobe's thing. And Gasol was the guy who came in as reinforcement to kind of help Kobe get over the hump or help the Lakers get over the hump. So he's never going to get full credit for that. And maybe rightfully so. You know, it was, at the end of the day, Kobe, you know, kind of ran the show there for better or for worse, and obviously for better because they were pretty successful and won a few titles. So that's really it with Gasol. So Gasol's a very interesting case in that the numbers really bear it out. The longevity numbers, the efficiency numbers, they bear it out. But he never, you know, the accolades aren't quite there, and I don't know if that's a chicken or egg thing because we're saying right now that, like, he never got his due. He never really got his credit. So, you know, using, you know, the lack of MVP votes, using the lack of all NBA first teams, it's tough because it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you say, hey, here's a guy that was completely, you know, totally underrated in his prime, and now here he is, you know, nobody named him for this, nobody named him for that, he didn't win this award. Well, they kind of go hand in hand. You know what I mean? Like, he probably should have gotten an All-NBA first team. He probably should have, you know, gotten some MVP votes, and he just never did for one reason or another. So he's a tough case, but I think he's an absolute no doubter that has to be in the 75.
Okay. Well, I think part of that, too, in terms of the overlook during this time and the lack of, you know, maybe All-NBA appearances is that, you know, he's also basically has a parallel career with, you know, somebody like Kevin Garnett, somebody like Tim Duncan, somebody like Dirk Nowitzki, you know, a lot of, you know, of course, you know, generation defining, you know, big men. That are playing during his time, and he wasn't as good as those guys, but yeah, you know, he was really, really good. And if he's playing, you know, in a slightly different area, that might get more appreciated. I'd put him on the 75. If I recall, he was the last or maybe the second to last, the player that we decided for, our over and back 50 list. You know, he's, again, he's excellent, but I do, you know, it is hard to find exactly, like, I don't necessarily think I would put him over any of the, you know, the new guys that they added on the team. So it would be a matter of, you know, which old guy, you know, which guy who made the top 50 would I have him go over. And there's, you know, a handful of guys I could see him going over, but that is obviously a more difficult decision than, okay, do I include him among the top 25 guys? Cause, or, you know, the new 25 or so guys. And I'm like, well, that's probably not realistic, you know, in terms of it. Is there anybody who he's, you know, head and shoulders above on that of the new 25 guys?
Right. Yeah. If we were doing a whole new list, I think he's very cleanly gets in there. Sure. If you are doing, okay, now you have the new 25 or whatever, you know, who does he go in instead of? I think I probably could make a case of him going in front of like going in front of maybe a Kawhi Leonard, maybe a Damian Lillard, maybe an Anthony Davis, those sort of guys. But it's tough. I think he belongs. I think he does. But I think they're probably, it's a little more difficult to put him in because I think he's pretty neck and neck with a lot of those guys, like you said, in that bottom half of the new 25. So
sure. Yeah. Then next, the other player who made our over and back 50, but not the NBA 75, Artis Gilmore. So you know, we made our list. We included ABA accomplishments, which you absolutely should, but they didn't do that. And so, you know, I'm not going to fault them for that. That was the rules the NBA set. So does he have a case if you count only NBA accomplishments? Well, he had five all ABA first team appearances, but never made an all NBA team. Of course, there were only, you know, first and second team back then. There was no third team for basically his entire career. He was a 6-time all-star in the NBA, 1-time all defensive team and second team. He is second all time in true shooting percentage. He led the league 5 times and was in the top 5 10 times. So that was, you know, his skill. Obviously, was a great rebounder, you know, great block shots, you know, really good defender, all that stuff. If you look at his other all-time ranks, this is just NBA only. 50th all-time rebounds per game, 26th in blocks per game, 74th in PER, 67th in win shares, 56th in win shares per 48, 84th in box score plus minus, 78th in value over replacement player. Those last two stats are, of course, post-1974 accomplishments. So, I mean, that's pretty good. That's maybe a little better in a couple of those things than I would have expected, but given the criteria, probably not meriting inclusion, especially not a great deal of team success, you know, in the NBA. What do you think?
Yeah, he's a tough one. Like, I think when we did our over and back 50, we wanted to, you know, to weigh the ABA accomplishments and weigh that a little bit. And when you do that, Artis is you know, a very, very good candidate for this. If you don't do that, if you only count the NBA accomplishments as the NBA did here, his case isn't bad. It's better than you might think, but I don't know if it's one that I would make as strongly. If we're talking just NBA, and like you said, not as much team accolades aren't really quite there. Probably doesn't meet the criteria for inclusion and some of the other you know numbers. But you know there are some pretty good stuff there. I mean, it's a better case than you might think. But I would probably have him on the outside looking in.
Sure. Yeah, I would agree.
All right, let's get to this one here, who I think very well may be the biggest snub of the entire thing, Dwight Howard. So. He was not on our over and back 50. He probably should have been, maybe.
Right. Like, I'm not sure why we didn't put him in.
Well, I think 50, for the same reason that probably the NBA guys didn't, which we'll get to in a minute, his biggest con of all. So, like us all, he has more win shares than most of the list, 46 to be exact. 3-time Defensive Player of the Year, 8-time All-Star, 4-time All-NBA Defensive Team, 5-time All-NBA First Team, 4 Top 10 Finishes, and 6 times Rebound Champion. I mean, what are we doing here? What is this? So everybody else with at least 5 All-NBA First Team finishes made this list, and he has more All-NBA appearances overall than James Harden, Steph Curry, Jason Kidd, Scottie Pippen, Patrick Ewing, Allen Iverson, Steve Nash, and Kawhi Leonard, among many others as well. All-time ranks, 12th in all-time rebounds, 19th in rebounds per game, 10th in career offensive rebounds, 6th in all-time defensive rebounds, 15th all-time in blocks, leading the league twice, 29th in blocks per game, led the league in field goal percentage in 2010, 7th all-time in an effective field goal percentage, 26th all-time in true shooting, 53rd in PER, 35th in win shares, 58th in win shares per 48, and 64th in value over replacement players. So, okay. Cons. He's a massive dickhead that nobody likes. So,
right, there's that.
Yeah. And there you go. So that, I mean, and right. The other, and all joking aside, the other part of his quote unquote con is that, you know, the spectacular part of his career was pretty short. I mean, in totality, it's probably 5 or 6 years that you're talking here, you know, maybe 7 years tops. And now he's kind of hung around for a while. Like if he retires in 2016, and we don't have Charlotte Hornets, you know, Dwight Howard, we don't have Atlanta Hawks, Dwight Howard, it might be a lot easier to say like, wow, look at this guy's all-time great career. He's just kind of been a dude and like not that good of a dude and kind of an annoying dude. And you know, yeah, was that one, you know, the Lakers year in 2020 when he kind of resurrected himself and kind of figured out his role. I mean that, you know, that's, and he's kind of been fine. Like the last few years, he's kind of figured out his role and he's a good bench guy and all that sort of stuff. But it's just, yeah, the time when he was like one of the best players in the league feels so long ago that I think that it leads to a lot of people just kind of being like, I don't know, was he really that good? And it's like, no, he was. He was so incredible. He was so good. But yeah, I don't know. He's a no doubter. He's an absolute no doubter. I'm more or less just wondering why the hell we didn't include him in our top 50. And I think I want to go back and listen to that episode to see what the hell our reasonings for or why we didn't put him in. But
right. Well, I think at the time we probably thought, okay, I mean, he was only 29 at the time. And we kind of thought, you know, and he was still in Houston and was still at least kind of on the edge of having been, you know, of still you know, there was a thought that, okay, yeah, he's still going to be a great player. He's going to add to his resume. Maybe we kind of thought about that as like, okay, well, we're going to give him some more time and revisit there. And he hasn't, you know, I mean, he's put up some numbers here and there, but obviously has not been the same player since then. And especially in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years has settled really into just being like kind of a, you know, kind of a solid dude on, you know, a backup big on some teams, you know, who annoys people. So including his own teammates. So
including everybody.
Right. So yeah, that's an interesting rework. But yeah, I looking back on it, yeah, definitely deserves to be on this team. And there's several players, you know, that I would put him ahead of, at least right now, in terms, you know, of the new guys right there. He definitely bears inclusion, no question.
Yeah, so that's Dwight Howard. Yeah, to me, he's the big. I mean, there's people bringing up like weird, like, you know, we'll talk about, you know, Klay Thompson and these other guys, and I'm just like, everybody should be talking about Dwight Howard. Like, there's just no reason for Dwight not to be in there, other than like, I think everybody had to think about it, and they're like, ah, fuck, if we invite him, are we gonna have to like hang out with him on All-Star weekend? Yeah. They're like, and they like scratch him off the list, and Damian Lillard. I'd rather hang out with Dame than
is he gonna fart out of Willis Reed? I mean,
is he gonna try to teabag? You know,
right? Like, exactly. Is he gonna try to teabag Hal Greer? I mean,
we want that?
And we can't allow that.
The universal answer was no. So I'd imagine like a group chat went and been like, hey guys, just remember, like, whoever comes, we're gonna have to like hang out with them, and they're like, oh yeah, all right, cool, yeah, okay,
let's
know, like, we might be in a banquet hall with this man later sometime in this year, so just keep that in mind.
Oh shoot, I
know who you vote for. So
I forgot that Hal Greer passed away, so 2018,
so
that would be really bad. So
that, you tough one there.
Actually,
it's kind of an interesting thing, because, you know, in that NBA 58, wasn't it was everybody but
it was 48. It was everyone except for Maravich, who had passed away, and then Jerry West, who had surgery or something, or just whatever the reason. Yeah,
I don't want to do like the morbid, hey, let's figure out who died on the 75 list or whatever.
Yeah,
but yeah, it. I think still surprisingly, a lot of guys will be fine. You know what I mean? Like, which is cool. Like that's one thing that is always awesome about the NBA.
Yeah,
is that like most of the? I mean, I think isn't it still to this day that like it's only Wilt and Kobe that are MVPs that have passed away. Or am I missing somebody else recently?
Yeah, I'd have to think about that. Because obviously Mike and, you know, there were those before the MVP.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you might be right. That might still be the case,
which is cool as hell. So I mean, that at least lets us know that despite, you know, Hal Greer and a few other guys that have
Cousy and Pettit are still alive, Russell's still alive, you know, Oscar Robertson's still alive, and Will's, you know, Reed and Wes Unseld passed away.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So he's out as well. So So I think ultimately though, it wouldn't be like, because sometimes it's kind of depressing if you have these guys and there's like 15 dudes that aren't there or whatever. But I think, you know, if they do something during All-Star Weekend, a very, very large majority of the men will still be there, which is really cool.
Yeah,
so
that would be awesome. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, I mean, I don't see anybody, you know, there's a handful of other guys that I think you could talk about here, like Manu Ginobili. I mean, he really, you know, and we talked about him obviously a lot for the 50. And I think it's just like, if you look at the numbers, they're really great. I mean, you know, like, he has the exact same number of NBA win shares as Julius Erving, which is just kind of like, you know, wild to think about.
Yeah.
Some caveats there, but, you know, and, you know, sixth man of the year, but only like two-time All-Star, you know, not really the all NBA appearances. I mean, he was a great player, and he was a particularly great per minute player, but yeah, he didn't play heavy minutes, which I think was, you know, helpful to his team, but not necessarily helpful to, you know, his argument for this list. So, you know, you're probably not there. You know, I know Kyrie Irving was somebody who was talked about a lot in terms of, you know, a guy who merits inclusion. But I see the case, but I don't think he's necessarily, a slam dunk or anything. I mean, he versus Lillard's kind of an interesting discussion because they roughly parallel careers, and obviously similar players.
Yeah. No, definitely. Yeah. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, and you you could talk me into him over somebody like Maravich or Monroe or Tiny Archibald. Maybe, you know, obviously, you know, those guys, you know, similar types of players from different eras. But, you know, again, not really a slam dunk there. Anyone else that really stands out to you?
Not really. I mean, I think I've seen a lot of people make the case for T-Mac. And T-Mac's thing is, like, his peak is, like, amazing. You know, hoopsanalyst.com did a really good piece on it. You know, looking at all-time small forwards and their top peaks, or there's, you know, three-year peaks or whatever. He used T-Mac 2000 to 2003, Larry Bird 84 to 87, like that sort of style of thing. And, like, among those players, you know, T-Mac's three-year peak is the second best in PER behind only Kevin Durant. You know, top half of win shares per 48, just behind Bird, KD, Dr. J, and Kawhi. Better box plus minus than everybody except for Bird, KD, and Kawhi, and a better available replacement player than everybody but Bird and KD. And the accolades aren't bad for McGrady either. Seven-time All-Star, two-time scoring champ, two-time All-NBA first team, three-time All-NBA second team, two-time All-NBA third team, two-time top five in MVP as well, six-time top 10 in MVP too, which kind of surprised me. The problem with McGrady, and it's always the problem with McGrady, is that it was a slow start, obviously, as he was still very, very young. And in Toronto, he was kind of, you know, a backup or kind of the second fiddle to Vince Carter. Then he has the Orlando years, and those years were fantastic. And then, you know, a few good years in Houston, and then it's a much slower end than people remember. I mean, T-Mac hung around for a long amount of time, sure, just kind of being a dude. And it's similar to the Dwight Howard thing. If he retires after, like, 2007... maybe he's in there. You know what I mean? Maybe then you're like, oh shit, like what a, you know, all-time great career, efficiency numbers would be incredible, all that sort of stuff. The problem is the small window of peak play. It was just very small. The injuries caught up, all that sort of stuff. And also in this, you know, deserves inclusion as well, there was not a lot of team success related to that peak. You know, he was really, really good, and he scored a lot and he did a lot, but the team, you know, they make the play. They never got out of the first round. They never had prolonged playoff runs. He never had that opportunity to really, you know, show himself in the playoffs. And that's not all his fault, obviously. It's obviously, you know, playing on not great teams. But the fact that it kind of hung with him through the rest of his career, that he never seemed to get over that hump, that he was never as successful as a lot of his peers, I think has to play a little bit of a part in this.
Right. Yeah. And I would agree with that. And yeah, you could look at it in a similar way of like Bill Walton. And obviously Bill Walton's on the list. But yeah. Bill Walton, if you look at like his, you know, three-year peak or so, he's among the best big men of all time, you know, up there with some of the top, you know, peaks of, you know, Russell and Kareem and all those guys in terms of, you know, full impact. Obviously he didn't score as much as Kareem did, but, you know, in terms of just full impact, he's up there. And you can tell, McGrady is up there with, you know, guys like Bird and KD and Doc and Kawhi, you know, that's all kind of the club of guys who, you know, their three-year peaks or so are just, you know, among the best for any small forward of all time. But yeah, if he had had, you know, a championship or even a couple deep playoff runs, then I think he has a stronger case, or, you know, he wins one MVP maybe, which he definitely could have won an MVP.
Sure.
In 02 or so. I mean, he was up there certainly, but and maybe should have, you know, one of those years. But I think he falls just short because of that. But it's a stronger case than I think I realized when we were doing the NBA 50.
Yeah, you know? I agree. I think I probably, I don't remember what I said at the time, but I probably kind of threw him aside quicker than I thought. Yeah. And then as I'm kind of looking at this and looking at, you know, that the hoopsanalyst.com thing that I mentioned as well, and just looking at in totality, I mean, those accolades were way more than I thought. I'm like, oh man, like he was a big deal for, you know, 5, 6, 7 years there, and definitely deserves it. As far as other guys, I mean, I've heard, you know, Jimmy Butler, Paul George, Nikola Jokic, as names brought up. Butler, it's hard. He's got efficiency numbers that definitely give him a case, but he has not really had enough overall numbers. I don't think he's accumulated enough accolades really to have a tangible case. So he's pretty out as well. Paul George, definitely on that trajectory, a lot of accolades, but, he'd be tough to really make a case for. Nikola Jokic, I mean, way, way, way too early for him right now, I would say. But yeah, I mean, he's definitely on that trajectory. Like if, you know, in 5 years, he might be there
I think he'd definitely be there in 5 years. I mean, well, he already has an MVP, which obviously helps.
Yes, for sure, for sure.
Box score plus minus of 8, which is the best among centers. Of course, we're talking only post-1974 when that stat exists. Third all-time between Jordan and LeBron. And he has 13,610 career minutes as of this recording, which is actually more than Bill Walton, only by 400. But it is
that's unbelievable. So, like, again, like, you know, we say this thing that there's no way that you would ever, if I said, hey, who has more career minutes, Nikola Jokic or Bill Walton? I think most people would probably say Bill Walton, but no, you'd be wrong. Right. You're dumb, person.
Right, you are dumb.
It's Nikola Jokic, you idiot.
Right, you idiot. How could you have not known that when I just looked at it the other day and was surprised?
Yep.
I mean, so I think there's a case, but yeah, I mean, in 5 years, you know, of course, barring, you know, career big injury pretty much tomorrow, I think he's got a strong case to be on there and, you know, eventually be a no doubter.
So. Right. And by the way, if you're one of those people making a Klay Thompson argument, I love Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson's a great shooter, all time great shooter. Get out of here. It's not even close. Like, he's not in the, like, they're doing the, they're giving him number 77. Like, he was the last cut, Klay Thompson. Like, they're saying, get out of here. I mean, 5-time All-Star, 3 NBA titles, 1 top 10 MVP finish. He ranks 80th in points per game, 20th in three-pointers. That's about it.
So. Does he have any All-NBA? No All-NBA appearances?
Not that I remember. Let me double-check to make sure that I'm correct. You know, hold on. Let's see. Let's make sure. All-League. He is a 2-time All-NBA third team.
Okay. So
1-time All-Defensive team. So he's got a little bit more, but...
Right.
Yeah, it's not a lot. And the MVP awards share, he got like 0.0001. So he was really like 1/10th place vote, which, you know, whatever that's worth. But
And I would say Draymond's a bit similar, where, you know, he has a defensive player of the year. He's got 6 appearances on all defensive team, 2 All-NBAs, but probably not really enough to merit. But I mean, I can see people making the case for Draymond and Klay because, you know, somebody like Robert Parrish is there, or somebody like, you know, James Worthy is there. It's like, okay, well, yeah, the big, you know, 2 or 3 guys from the, you know, from the Lakers and Celtics, and even, you know, Rodman, you know, especially, you know, the Draymond Green Rodman parallels. We talked about that before, but I can see where people were coming from with it, but I would have to say that they probably are not. I wouldn't necessarily throw either guy on this list, but I can see where the discussion comes from.
Yeah, and one thing that's pretty interesting as well is, you know, the NBA, you know, our Basketball Reference, I should say, has like their Hall of Fame probability thing, and like most guys that you look at that are good are like pretty high probability because it's the Basketball Hall of Fame, and they kind of estimate it based off, you know, leading the league and these accolades or whatever. But yeah, most players that you look at are pretty much up there, and I don't know where this ranks among people that are on the NBA 75. It might be a pretty interesting discussion. Maybe I'll do that, run those numbers and post on Twitter or something like that, people that know. But Klay Thompson, his Hall of Fame probability right now on Basketball Reference is 51.3%. Now, I think he probably will be a Hall of Famer. I think that's pretty easy. But what that tells you is, you know, that just by the blind numbers, that algorithm is just kind of like, yeah, I mean, he's you know, probably going to get in, but like not like a slam dunk. Whereas like, yeah, some of these guys on this list, I mean, like a Damian Lillard, you know, just real quickly, let me fire up his number. I think I looked at it not that long ago, and Damian Lillard's like a, you know, a no-doubter, like an absolute, you know, no-brainer for you know, Basketball Reference's Hall of Fame probability. Let's see, 90.6 for Damian Lillard. So it's just like, I think people think that Klay probably accomplished more in his career than he did just because, you know, but and he's great. Like, again, I feel bad. Like, I don't want to slag on Klay Thompson. Right. I just don't think – I think there's so many more egregious guys that we can talk about before we start talking about Klay Thompson.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. So, all right. Well, that was some fun discussion there. I'm you know, we've started on the whole NBA 75 thing, but it is it's fun to talk about. It's fun to dive into some players. I think we may have a few other follow ups to take some angles on this list. So we'll see what comes of that. But thanks, Rich, as always, for the fun discussion.
Yeah, for sure. So we're kicking guys off next time, or what are we doing here?
Oh yeah, we're gonna
because I'm ready.
Some guys, yeah.
Jerry Lucas, you gotta go, pal.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Like,
Tiny Archibald. Walk your ass out of here. You're done.
Sorry. Yeah. Hey.
Dave Cowens. Cool.
Yep.
Thanks for coming, pal. You're out.
Yeah. Right.
Dave DeBuscher. Well, the Garden was Eden. We'll go back because
enjoy the teabagging because
I want Dwight Howard to teabag. I want him to come out and teabag Dave DeBuscher right back to the fucking Madison Square. Get out of here,
right.
Bum. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I don't know what we're gonna do next, but we'll see. But no, there's always very fun discussions here. But is, you know, for all, you know, all the joking aside about the NBA 75, it does, you know, at the end of the day, it's just a really, really cool way for people to talk about NBA history and talk about great players. So it's been fun to, you know, the big topic around, you know, NBA discussions are, you know, classic players of all time and that sort of stuff. That's cool. I mean, that obviously we enjoy basketball history. So of course we would like this discussion, but at the end of the day, it's like, and we said this during the Over and Back 50 and NBA 50, it's like not that big of a deal. It's not like a make or break for any of these guys, but except Marcus Johnson. Did you see his tweet that he did?
Funny. Yes.
That was incredible. That was so great. Obviously, Marcus Johnson, if you did not see the tweet, was not in the NBA 75, and I don't think he really expected to be. But he used his scene from White Men Can't Jump as his tweet, which, you know, he says, like, I'm gonna go back to my car and I'm gonna get my gun and I'm gonna blow your heads off or whatever. It's just awesome. So it's like, yep. And he says, like, oh, my reaction to not being on the NBA 75 list is yeah. awesome. But Marcus Johnson also has an awesome Twitter account too, because yeah. every year, you follow Marcus Johnson as well, right?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Every year on his birthday, he just dunks just to prove that he still can. Which rules.
Right.
And yeah. I'm going to start doing that as well. Right. So hopefully for my next birthday, I can dunk for the first time ever. And then
all right.
And then from there on forward, I'm going to dunk every year. So
all right.
Just need to get that first one done. And then.
Yeah. Hey, if you got to get a trampoline, do it for, you know.
8-foot hoops. I'll just shoot it low. You know, yeah, you won't even know. They're like, whoa, yeah. hold on.
Wow. Wow. You're very tall. I didn't know you were so tall. Yeah.
But nice. Anyway, awesome stuff there. But yeah, right. enjoy this. So enjoy the discussion. We'll do it some more for sure.
All right. Sounds fun. Well, everyone, hope you are enjoying the show. You can find us at the Step Back at fansided.com, where there is amazing NBA content, both historical and of the new season of exciting things that are going on. And you can find us wherever you listen to your podcast. Please leave us a rating and review. If we're not on any of the podcast platform you would like us to be on, let us know. We will try to get on there. You can find us on social media, both Facebook and Twitter, at Over and Back NBA. If you really want us on to be on another social media, I'm an old person and Rich is getting old, so we're afraid of other social media platforms. But if you really want us to be on there,
I've had to recently do a little bit of TikToking, Jason, for my work.
Wow.
And I don't like it. So don't make us go on TikTok because I don't want to. So
no TikTok.
But if
for
we
us.
Must TikTok, then we will. We'll dance and rip things off, like urinals off of bathroom walls or whatever. The challenge is at the time, we'll definitely not do it.
But, all right. With that, have a excellent evening, and we'll talk again soon.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% Lean Ground Sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.